This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. Again, if you'd like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. You might want to take a look at the website because there's quite a little information on the website, questions and answers, as well as tracts and testimonies. And my weekly meditation is on the website. And this program is on the website. So if you would like to contact me, perhaps to leave me with prayer requests, or if you would like to listen to the material, the program again, you'll need a pencil and a piece of paper so you can write my address down at the close of the program. Now today, we are going to go back to Luke chapter 13. Last time we spent some time on the issue of the resurrection, since we were dealing with Easter. And of course, we tried to point out that while it is true that our salvation is based on the fact that Christ died for our sins, it is the resurrection that proves that he did, in fact, satisfy a holy and a righteous God, and that his sacrifice is sufficient to save us. It's sufficient to satisfy God. And so we thank thee that the reality of all that we believe is tied up in that empty tomb. And we are glad that the Lord proved himself to be alive after many infallible proofs, undeniable proofs. Now it's interesting that in this particular year we move from Easter, and the next day is April 1st, which we sometimes call April Fool's Day. And as I go back to Luke chapter 13, I want to kind of think about the idea of being foolish of April Fool's Day. We don't celebrate April Fool's Day as Christians, but nevertheless, there are many people who indirectly do celebrate it because they are making some very foolish decisions. But before we deal with that, let's read from Luke chapter 13 and verse 31. On that very day, some Pharisees came, saying to him, "Get out and depart from here, for Herod wants to kill you." And he said to them, "Go tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected.'" And again, that's referring to his resurrection, because he has not yet gone to the cross. "Nevertheless, I must journey today, tomorrow, and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish outside of Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing." You were not willing. Think of those words. "See, your house is left to you desolate, and assuredly I say to you, you shall not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" And we trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. Now, these people were very foolish. The Lord was presenting himself to Israel. And as he presents himself to Israel, he's not the one that they were expecting. They were not expecting a man who was born in Bethlehem, even though they should have, because prophetically he had to be from the city of David. He had to be from the lineage of David. He had to be from Bethlehem Ephratah. They weren't expecting one who was raised in Nazareth, a place that was despised. They weren't expecting a carpenter, or the son of, actually he was a carpenter and the son of a carpenter, and they weren't expecting that, those sorts of humble beginnings. And so Isaiah says that when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. And that's referring to the beauty of a king. There's no regal beauty that we should desire him. And at this point, he's made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem on the colt, the foal of an ass, according to prophecy. But, or he's going to do that in a little bit. He hasn't done that here yet, but he's going to make that triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And the people at one point are going to be willing to make him a king, but before Passover week, the Feast of Unleavened Bread is over, they're going to crucify him. And so he says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as hens gather her brood under her wings, but you were not willing." And these people were very, very foolish. There were consequences associated with rejecting the Lord, and those consequences have to do with their house being left desolate. And it's been left desolate now for nearly 2,000 years, although the children of Israel are back in their land, and even though many nations have recognized the nation of Israel as having a valid claim to the land, yet they have not been reestablished as the people who are God's people on earth. They are God's people on earth, but the Lord has not reestablished that publicly because they have rejected their Messiah. And as of yet, the children of Israel as a nation have not been willing to say why he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. But I think the day will come when they will say that as a nation, and then the Lord will take them as a nation, and he will use them to display his glory throughout this whole earth. He will establish his kingdom with them as the centerpiece of that kingdom. That's coming in a coming day. But when we think of Easter, we see God trying to convince the world that in fact everything that Christ claimed was true. He was the Son of God as well as the Son of Man. That he died for our sins. He was buried and was raised again the third day according to the scriptures. And because of the open tomb, the Jews had been given the ultimate sign, the sign of the prophet Jonas. Because as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so would the Lord be 3 days and three nights in the bowels of the earth. And the Lord was raised from the dead, but people still are denying those simple truths because we live 2,000 years down the road from when that happened, and to us it seems like a fable. And yet Peter himself in his second epistle says, we have not followed cunningly devised fables, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. We saw him in the holy mount. And so Peter wants us to have these things always in remembrance, that the things that we read in the scriptures are in fact true and not cunningly devised fables. But many people are rejecting the only one who can prepare us for eternity and prepare us for time. We're not really ready to live, and I've often said this, we're not ready to live until we're ready to die, and we're not ready to die until we have trusted Christ, the resurrected Christ, who says he's coming again, and who says the world is not through with him. Now, we then have passed through the truth of Easter into April Fool's Day. And when I think of April Fool's Day, I think of a man by the name of Jim Elliot who was martyred trying to reach the Aka Indians in Ecuador. I've done a little research on the work that he did. He was a man that went to a church that I often go to today. And these Aka Indians were a cruel people. Even they themselves thought that they were cruel people. They had darkened hearts. And I asked myself, why would a man go to the Aka Indians knowing that their mode of operation was to kill people, even to kill their own children, to kill their own families? And there really didn't have to be much of an excuse for them to do this kind of killing. But Jim Elliot said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Now, when you read that, at first you might think that Jim Elliot thought that he would go to heaven because he was willing to make this great sacrifice where he did in fact lose his life in order to reach the Aka Indians. But I don't think that's what he's saying at all. He's saying that time and our lives down here, we can't keep those, but we need to keep our eye on eternity. And while we are saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, yet while we're saved by grace through faith, after we're saved, we as the Lord's people can be faithful to him. And all of us have our eye on the eternal reward. And it is quite clear in the Bible that while salvation makes us fit for heaven, yet faithfulness is going to be rewarded there for those who are faithful to him. And so Jim Elliot had his eye on that future reward. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep, his earthly life, to gain eternal reward that he cannot lose. Now, when we think of what Jim Elliot did, he made a wise decision. But when we think of what the Jews were doing, they were making a foolish decision. They were going to show the Lord that they were boss and that they were king, not that the Lord was the king, that they were king. And they were bullying the Lord, and they were willing to crucify him, even knowing the cruelty associated with crucifying the Lord. And in some ways, they seemed to be acting an awfully lot like those Aka Indians who in their darkened hearts were killing one another. In trying to destroy the Lord, they were destroying one who had never done them any harm. And so, yet, because they did not want to accept him as God and as the Savior, they made him become the Savior that has saved the world. Now, when we look at the 14th Psalm, there's a verse that comes before me today, and it says, it's also found in Psalm 53. It's a verse so important that it is repeated. It says, the fool had said in his heart, there is no God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Some think this should be translated, the fool has said in his heart, no God for me. And others think that it perhaps means that the fool has said in his heart, no to God. But whatever the case may be, there's a tendency on the part of people not to want to be accountable to God. Because if they're accountable to God, then they're going to be accountable for their sin. And if there is no God, we are only accountable to ourselves and the society we live in. And some of those societies are not societies that represent the truth and the love and the blessing of an ordered society like the one that was founded on Christian principles that we live in. So nevertheless, as we look at this passage, we can see that it's a fool who would reject God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. There's no good reason for rejecting our Creator God that I can see, and we could talk about that at length. But nevertheless, the Jews in rebellion turned their back upon God. And when they did that, they had to take responsibility for what they were doing, because the Lord says, I would have gathered you as a chicken gathers her hens under her wings, but you were not willing. And when it comes to the gospel, those who end up missing out on God's salvation will have to admit that Christ loved them, God loved them, the Son of God died for them. He died for the sins of the whole world, but that doesn't reconcile us to God until we receive that truth by simple trusting faith, until we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not saved. And when we will not believe the truth, then we are going to suffer the consequences. Israel was dispersed into all the nations because of their rejection of Christ. And ultimately, those of us who die without Christ will die, and we will be condemned eternally because we did not accept God's only way of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not be foolish. Do not be a fool. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon the program and upon those who have listened. If there's those who are not saved in our audience, Lord, touch their hearts and turn them to the Savior. We give thanks for thy love in our Savior's name. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.